studio right now, Lou Taverna. Lou's local lures. He knows something about everything locally and very interesting to talk to, and I learn a lot. And I want to say good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, but first I need to say hello to your wife, Gracie,
in
the studio. Oh, my goodness. So nice to have some color in the studio this morning. Very, very nice here. And good morning, Rick. Good morning, Rocco. Thank you again for having me for the third edition of Lou's Local Lore. And Rick, thanks for that shout out about the website, loutaverna.com.
Lou's Perfect. Local Lores, there you go. Thank you. Hey, Rick, if you want to come in and take part.
Thank you, Gracie.
Where do you want to start, Jim?
Because you and Rick, the other morning, I think it was yesterday, talking horses.
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting when he put the pedigreequery.com on there.
Oh, that was mind-blowing. That was like reading the IRS tax code.
Yeah, and so that brought to mind, I needed to know, because I'm a frequent visitor, I'm glad to admit it, actually, of Vernon Downs, and many Romans are visitors to Vernon Downs. Not as many as used to attend. That would be because of the lottery and the prevalence of casinos. But did you know Vernon Downs opened July 1, 1953? I wasn't there. I wasn't born yet. And they've had quite a history. I think now with the new, since about 2006, Jeff Girl has owned the racetrack and owns a couple other racetracks in New York.
Yeah.
And
Downs is one.
Yep, exactly. They're making headway. And I was curious to ask, well, we got Gracie here and you and Rick. Do you ever attend? Do our fellow Romans attend?
When I was younger, my Uncle Jack had friends, Bob DePaul and a couple of other guys that had horses. And actually, up until a few years ago, a guy who owned a gas station, he had horses. And you would go, it's a nice evening if the weather's nice, because they got the restaurant, and you don't have to love horse racing to go up there once in a while, and I think that's what lacks.
And I say this because, and I know some people will be listening and going, what's it got to do with history? Well, in my history, my family, that was one of our places. We went for outings from Rome to go to Vernon Downs. You had grandstand seating there. You had the clubhouse seating. You could sit outdoors and enjoy the weather, enjoy the horses. I'm one of those that I'm always curious why more people from Rome don't go.
And it's like anything else in your backyard. I lived in a city where I heard somebody one day. I did it myself after many, many years. What is there to do today? And you're in Manhattan, and it's Sunday, and it's quiet, and there's no tourists, and you can't figure out what you want to do because you live there, and you just don't go anywhere. It's like that up here. There's things to do, but people don't go to Vernon Downs, and they don't really go to Sylvan Beach. They'll complain when it's not there.
Well, we've got a number of local people that work there, so the local economy is dependent on that, no different than it was back in time.
It's part of your history, too. I don't think people...
Oh, no, it is. It is part of our history.
It's the 50s, for God's sakes. And those are the times that... I keep thinking when there were the mayor's race a couple of years ago, one of the candidates was very big on when he was young, and it was the 50s and the Leave It to Beaver time, and people used to go to drive-in movies and go play, the league, and Vernon Downs was new, and it was always crowded, I think that gets lost, because when people talk history, they think of the fort, or 1790, or 1812, or something like that.
Right, I like to promote it. They don't have me come on here and promote it. But the thing is that I just think it's a great night out for Rome.
It is.
It's just it doesn't cost you anything to get in there. It's that simple. It used to. And now it doesn't. So, if you and Gracie were there, maybe you gamble, maybe you don't. Maybe you eat something, maybe you don't. But it's just an app. When the weather's nice like it was Friday and Saturday, it's perfect night out. I think Father's Day.
This weekend is going to be gorgeous. And it's nice to get the fresh air. And just look, you don't have to know what to do.
Our friend Rick back there, I don't know. He's a world traveler. And I don't know if he's made it to Vernon Downs recently. then that'll get him.
Now you've got him coming out of the
That'll
studio.
Get him off of his seat.
Oh,
but that was. Hi, Rick.
We hosted over there about 3 weeks ago or so. Saw three or four races. So we've been this year. Yes.
Very good, yep. Very good, Rick. And I can't keep up with all of his little jokes.
Jumps. Oh, the puns? Oh.
Yeah, my goodness, because you got to be careful around here what you say. And okay, we're here for history. I wanted to inform the listeners, and I know a lot of them don't do Facebook, and that's great. It's totally understandable. I always will plug People and Places of Rome and Michelangelo's wonderful group, nearing 17,000 members, if it hasn't already reached that. Mike will chime in occasionally after one of these shows and give me an update if I misspoke. Again, I to the listeners, I'm not an authority, so to speak. I will do the research, and if something comes up wrong, I hope somebody will let me know, because Mike in particular was convinced there was an American corner that we alluded to, and there was an American hotel. It took me forever to find it. We found it. There was an American hotel on the American corner. It had a number of businesses above it, maybe even and or below it, because it was a multi-level building. And a number of the addresses that I was able to come up with through the old Sentinel archives were related to being, they all said, number 36 at the American corner or at the American
Hotel. I guess
hotel.
I thought about the busy corner in Utica. Has been called a busy corner since the 1880s, and there's nothing there to market that. But, you know, it says the busy corner. It's just Bleecker and Genesee Street. But everybody, even if you've only been in Utica 10 years, you know where the busy corner is.
Yeah, well, and Mike said he went down here and checked on the plaque, you know, the marker. It doesn't say American Hotel. And I hope he'll chime
where
in.
Where is the plaque?
Mike, if you hear us, chime in to Rick and let him know where the plaque is, because I honestly,
the fort's on one side.
Yeah,
they're tearing up the parking lot and building.
You know, and I drive by it, and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers there, and I think it's opposite that. But again, like I said, that's what's great about radio. Maybe
American corner.
Yeah, the plaque.
Yes, if I could chime in, there is a plaque and a bench right outside Berkshire Bank. Right there on the corner across from the fort. It is also in memory and honor of Chris DeStito.
Very good, okay.
That's right on that corner, right on Dominic Street and James.
Well, I'm going to have to look when I go to the
you
office.
Have all three there. You have the plaque, you have the bench, and you also have the tribute to Chris DeStito.
Wonderful. Thank you, Rick, for that. I mean, I pass by it, and you just never take note of it. Maybe we could have Gracie go around town and start the list. There's other people.
Get on that one.
Yeah, can she get? So the people that don't have Facebook, one of the sites that you can actually go to, people I know sometimes don't search as well as I do, the local fire department, they have a website. It's IAFFLocal694.com. They have some of the history of Rome as material on their website. And it's a great compendium of different aspects of the city of Rome. And again, it's just through searching. Rick, you gave me 3 weeks lead in this time to get ready. So he's pushing the envelope, so I may have to stretch it to four, because it takes a while. And if one of your resources isn't available online, sometimes it's not the easiest thing to put all this together and then try to print it out and not lose your place as far as the material that I have in hand, because you see what I bring in.
What tidbits you got here?
Yeah, the tidbits are, I have to remind myself about that website. Again, I'll just mention it one more time. The local fire department is at IAFFLocal694.com. And you'll be able to see there's a menu item that says the history of Rome, and it's a wonderful compendium. Rocco, you're from Utica, correct?
I know
roundabout way.
Yeah.
All right. There's a local magazine of all things, and it's called Greater Utica.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Oh, sure. Oh, yes.
Look what's on the cover this time.
The Air Force Base,
Griffiths Air Force Base. People have chimed in to me and said, "Hey, can you find this out about the Air Force Base or anything in particular?" And sometimes I'm stumped. and I'll do the best that I can. But knowing that this magazine was out here, the June issue is devoted to Griffiths Air Force Base. It mentions your busy corner.
Yep.
It mentions the Oriskany Museum. I didn't know there was an Oriskany Museum. Anybody raise their hands in this room and tell me where the Oriskany Museum is?
Is that near the anchor or the airplane?
We
in
would have to open the magazine to find out.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, we'd have to wait for a break. And there's the GU Sports Hall of Fame, and I'm not exactly sure.
Oh, the Greater Utica Sports.
Greater
Hall
Utica Sports.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Like the Rome Hall of Fame.
So this Greater Utica magazine, also one of the previous editions, featured the RFA Stadium, which great history on the RFA Stadium out of the Greater Utica magazine. So again, there's always resources, and I wanted to say to you and the station, unfortunately, we lost the WKAL feed to TuneIn. And Rick knows.
Rick is on, yeah.
And that's, now we can't, once we archive these online, okay, I can get word out, let's say, so to speak, across the country. With TuneIn, anybody could have been sitting, you know, on the West Coast listening to us live right now. But the minute we lost that TuneIn presence, we don't have that.
Is that all that we have to get online?
There is a stream via SecureNet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
That comes off of the WKAL1450.com. Mm-hmm. Website. It's the very top of the web page. I see Rick is shaking his head, so I'm not offline here, off base, I should say. And at the very top of the page, it says listen live. That still works. There is a splash page that you have to go through, and that splash page is presented by the company hosting the live feed. I put it on my website so that people could find it. Mm-hmm. In hopes that we could, you know, draw greater number of listeners, and they're presented with a splash page. And I get it; a lot of companies they want your email address, whatever. That you can actually just click no thanks, and it takes you right to the live feed. So they don't have to go through all that. And people in this day and age are very leery about giving out any more information. And I'm out there; I don't worry about it. It's one of those things. What are you going to do? You know, I started on the internet back in 1998.
Rick's famous yellow piece of paper.
Yes, the Oriskany Museum at 420 Utica Street. Oriskany.
Yeah, I was right.
There we go. The that's a Rome connection, correct, Rick? We don't. And because again, listeners have chimed in and said to me, "Will you specifically focus on Rome, or you know?" But I like to stretch it because that's why I brought up the stretch to Vernon Downs, because so many of us go there. Many of us go to the base now.
Fairly history of the area.
Rocco loves going in the roundabouts. Made a pretty
I'm
good.
I'm used
have
to
you made pretty
circles.
Good pro?
No,
have you
I
made
got
pretty
no,
good progress with those?
I've had traffic circles all of my life down south.
You're a nightmare.
Yesterday, I visited. As we're talking history, I visited the Rome Historical Society, and I'll do my best to promote them because the number of volunteers.
Great asset, great treasure.
Yeah, the number, that's the word, treasures. The number of treasures they have in that building, and I need someone to take me by the hand, no different than the day they take me by the hand and take me through Fort Stanwix to see it. The Rome Historical Society, people have asked about a number of what's there, what's available. Well, I'm a member. I happened to gift a couple of memberships yesterday to some dear friends of mine, and people don't realize it's a great thing to give someone if you don't, you know, for the people
it's
that don't have anything.
It's a historical society.
So you go gift $30 or $40 membership for a year, and then you let the people figure it out after that. Mm-hmm. It's something that's out of the loop, so to speak. It's something, you know, you don't have to go buy a gift card. Just go in there, pay the $30 or $40 for 30 is the individual, technically 40 is the family membership. Go in and pay a membership for someone, and whether they use it or not, that's not the point. You're helping fund the operations of that Rome Historical Society, and
but
I'm
you can
sure
go in now. Let me. I
go
have
ahead.
A question that's rattling around. If you just drop in, can you see things?
Yeah,
without being a member.
Oh, absolutely! Okay. It's a wonderful.
That's the key because people. We had the issue with the Notre County Historical Society. You're always not pushing the memberships. It's nice to join. You're donating money to help keep the place running, but people thought that you couldn't go in unless you were a member. And it's no different than any other.
No, that door is open.
Yeah, they welcome you to come in, and they'll show you whatever you want.
And I think, you know, if you make a request of something, they're going to help you. Same as we've mentioned the Jervis Library before, you know, a great asset to the city of Rome. I don't think they turn people away whether you're a member or not.
No.
They're going to do some research for you. Now, is there a small fee? Maybe if it gets crazy, but
hey, I pray on donations.
I don't know how often Rick has Lisa Matt come in and explain the functions and the inner workings.
Next time she comes in, I'll ask her because I didn't know that you could get memberships there.
At the Rome Historical Society. So yesterday I went in and took care of these memberships, and I said, "Do you have a list of the books that you have available?" Mm-hmm. And if you don't ask, you don't know. There are some wonderful books that they actually had a list, an inventory of books, and there is, I asked which would be one of the more popular, and there's a book, Pictures of Rome, New York, and I think I didn't write it down, and again, somebody will chime in to me, but I think it was from, you know, it's like a Rome Through Our History. There's a book called Rome Through Our History and Rome Through Time books and Rome Through Time Revised. There's a number of things that people can go by their relatives if, again, it helps fund the Rome Historical Society, something different. I have a couple of books in my desktop that people have given me over time. You've got the Erie Canal Adventure there. You've got the Say Cheese. I believe it has to do with the cheese factory.
Oh, yeah, the cheese factory. Yeah. I heard that.
And people don't think of that, but that, again, is our history. I've had people, Mike had posted, hi, Mike Colangelo. Mike had, I believe he posted a certificate of a plank road. It was like a stock certificate from a plank road. So I had, the day I saw that, okay, I got to look up, what's a plank road? Plank road, typically, I believe, down in the muck, private property owners, if you wanted to travel...
A nice finished road, and you're going to pay to go over it.
You paid a toll. Now, was there a troll there or something in a moat? But they laid plank roads. How interesting. So they must have cut lumber and built a road from point
like
A to point B.
Like the old-fashioned wooden sidewalk.
Yeah, and the landowners got together and said, okay, you get this amount of money, you get that amount of money for use. That was our first toll roads, and
pretty much.
But again, I thought, wow, that would have been something to be able to, well, again, you know, go back in time. Do I want to live back in the 1800s? No, I'm quite happy here.
Well, if you could walk on a plank road, well, you would.
Just to see the plank, you know, and to see, to go through the muck, and knowing that how much prosperity the mucklands brought to this area with the number of farmers there. That was, you know, commerce.
Now you're talking about that down there, like
South
the
James
radio
Street.
Tower.
Yeah, where
we got to talk about that someday because I'm mystified by all that. I don't want to get you off topic, but
no, but that's fine. I mean, I asked Rick that one day. I said, Rick, I'm on Muck Road. I go by a trailer that's way back in the woods, and it's sketchy, very sketchy back there. And Rick pointed out that that's where the transmitter is.
Oh, yeah.
That's where your friend, your friend Bob goes, or somebody goes when happens.
Engineer Bob. Rick goes down too. Rome still has the tin can on the string and electricity fueling the radio stations here. It's like two different systems. And occasionally you have to go reboot the thing. You swear a little bit and you push some buttons.
And I think Rick and I had gotten into a conversation. Doesn't have anything to do with history, but I said, can't you just reboot it from the station, from your phone?
No.
You know, and that'd be the kind of thing that bring a kid in here out of high school. He'll show you how to set up an app.
Actually, if it's offline, you have to do it in a certain sequence.
Right,
and
so you don't.
It's got to power up or else you'll see lots of sparks, I'm sure, and that'll be it.
It is that. It's that touchy-feely?
Yeah. Radio's still relatively old-fashioned. you don't just unplug it and plug it back in.
Well, this particular studio looks like...
This is new stuff.
Okay, so this studio has everything you need at this time. I wanted to bring up, Rick, you like that book, The Italian-American Heritage, got to get that right. I know he's mentioned it on air before. It was published in 1994. Mm-hmm. Guy Nashi and do you remember the other person that was integral in it? I looked through it, and I just know that the cover was Guy Nashe, and as we turn in, they do have a number of acknowledgments, and is this Niccolo Luigi D'Argenio is, and this book is available.
Sounds Italian.
Yeah, this book is available at the Rome Historical Society, and we go through a number, it goes through the mayors of Rome, and there were a lot of them. Most of the people from our time are familiar with Bill Valentine. I mean, that's the one that typically would have stuck out in my mind as part of history of Rome, especially during the Rocco, we've talked about urban renewal.
Yes.
And that was Bill Valentine, Bill Flinchbaugh, and a couple others. It, again, this book being at the Rome Historical Society, they just brought in a couple of days ago, they received some materials on a John A. Scott. He was a historian in Rome and had a number of, and I believe he worked for the Sentinel. He had a number of articles on the canal and a series, and they ran the series after he passed in 1950. They ran the series again, and I got into those. I think it was 15 of them. Just amazing what was going on with the canal through these series of articles that he authored. And then lo and behold, I'm in the Rome Historical Society. This gentleman that I read is an author. There's somebody brought and dropped off. They told me it came from the library. The library was divesting of it and brought it over to...
Oh, really?
Yeah, brought it over to the Rome Historical Society. I didn't, you know, that's a great thing to keep it alive, so to speak, between the two entities. And they'll take it in, they catalog it, I believe it is how they do it. Maybe when you have one of them and you can...
Yeah,
check on the process.
Here.
Okay.
Well, definitely, they both come back from the library and from the Historical Society.
Okay. And have we had art in a while?
It's a good, 4 weeks ago.
Oh, all right. All right. Very good.
But it's an interesting question if the library automatically sends historical Rome stuff over to the Historical Society. But why would you if the library is supposed to maintain?
Maybe the library is running out of space. That you know, maybe the Rome Historical
for books.
Well, that's one of those things. And
it's interesting to ask, though.
Yeah, and I did have somebody send me an email, and they asked, "Are you sure about that newspaper online that we can't get it?" And I think people get confused. There's FultonHistory.com that archives, I forgot how many thousands of newspapers in New York State. FultonHistory.com. That's where you can find the Rome Sentinel up to 1996, about. Then it stops. I don't know the gentleman. I don't know why they didn't archive beyond 1996, but it goes all the way back into the 1800s. Many of us use that. And to those that are able to visit the Jervis Library and have a library card, you can go to a couple of, there's four computers that are dedicated to the digital archive of the Sentinel, via agreement from the Sentinel. All the material is housed on, through the Jervis Library to a specific server that has, I think it's called Digital Ready, something like that, that archives the newspaper digitally up through, let's say, within the last 6 months. Great resource. Go ahead.
I want to ask Gracie something. What is the organization that started in Utica that I know I've interviewed them on the air here.
It's the American Italian Heritage Association,
which
they started in 1979 over in Mount Carmel in Utica. They just celebrated 39 years yesterday.
They're in Albany.
Their anniversary. They're in Albany now.
Oh,
Phil
okay.
DeNovo was Professor Phil DeNovo.
I've interviewed him.
Yeah, I've heard that name. Yes, mm-hmm. I've heard that name.
And I found out from him, or when we've gone down there, that Utica and Rome had tremendous populations, but Rome's Italian population, based on the size of the city, Rome had more Italians than Utica did. And you can still get that, because I see this whole book here on Italians, and you know, at the Tuckalana Club and the Bocce Tournament, or Botch, however you pronounce
right,
it.
Right, right.
Still a big Italian community here, and that's.
Well, in these books, I mean, you know, you could also go to the Rome Historical Society, just pick one up and start looking at it. I'm sure that they don't mind. This book that was authored up through 1994 shows the last mayor is Joe Griffel in 1992. So if people just want historical, we see our friend Carl Eilenberg in there. And let's see, prior to that, Mayor Valentine, and prior to seeing that.
Is Mayor Valentine still around, or is he alive?
No, I believe he passed. I hope, I believe he passed. And again, Mayor Valentine served from 64 to 79. That's perfect. That was my time, you could say. That's, you know, I was born and raised in 57 and left Rome in about 82 or so. But I knew Carl. I did not know Mr. Wood, who served as mayor for just 1 year, 1963, back then. And when you get into one of these books, there's the clubs you're talking about.
And
now, is there a book on the Polish American heritage in Rome? I didn't see it. There's maybe the Polish home keeps their own stuff or something like that. I don't know that. You can only do so much research because eventually you start getting lost to where you're at. And I have adult ADHD.
Let me help you there.
Multiplied, I think, you know, to the nth degree. And it is at times hard to stay focused on what you're doing. I also am a bit of a procrastinator. So when I put this material together, I put it together, let's say within a day or two, because I try to keep it fresh.
Sometimes it comes out better.
I try to keep it fresh in my memory. So people might think that they heard something before, but I think it's better if we cover it a second time because we have new listeners, hopefully. And again, that's why I try to point out the fact about the losing the TuneIn app. That was for me. I listened to you every day when I was in Florida. And now I would have to listen on my laptop. And which means those of us that are out and about, we had this connection through our phones, which was wonderful. And my phone won't allow me to use that online one that we're talking about at KL.
Right, right.
My phone won't connect to it.
We notified the West Coast to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah, and it's just nice that if you had that presence, we try to figure out how to get word out for people. And that's why I'm more than happy to help out with the website. Because, like, it's the only thing I got on there. And I did want to point out, I added something this morning before I came into the studio. You had mentioned Flag Day.
Yeah,
June 14th.
Tomorrow. Oh, no. Oh, well, they're having a celebration.
Downtown, James Street's decorated with all the flags right now.
Yep.
Wonderful job they did for all those. I think Tom Canelia had put out word about asking for volunteers. I was over that way yesterday. I was blown away with how many flags.
Over 1,000.
3,000, I think it was. If you get a chance, go down to James Street and Liberty Street and be amazed and be thankful that we have people that take the time and manicure. And thank you to Mike Colangelo for all that he does. He's the caretaker of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier there. And just a wonderful, wonderful feeling you get at this time of year when you can enjoy it, when the weather's as nice as it's been, to be able to go there and just, you're wowed. I was headed that direction because of the Rome Historical Society, and there are flags everywhere, and no different than our local cemeteries, you know, when they get to Memorial Day and they put flags in. Just fantastic job. And the reason we mentioned that was why? Flag Day.
The ceremony comes up at the fort at noon on Saturday. I had done a little blurb. There's a thing at the fort. There's going to be a ranger talking about the flag, what it means, how important it is, when it first flew at Fort Stanwix. Because if I remember correctly, I guess the first time the flag flew actually was before at Fort Stanwix, before anything happened.
Right, right.
So it's pretty.
And the cool. Local Elks 96, BPO 96, just had theirs, which was Sunday the 10th.
Is that the Francis Bellamy?
Yes, yes. That's it. Yeah, and theirs, theirs is dictated to them by their national when they have to have it. So
they go change the flags of the guy who did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Exactly, and I had the honor of leading that 1 year, and it's quite a ceremony. They take people. You're at the cemetery for the flag exchange, and then you go to the Elks, and the public's invited. And granted, this is after the fact because when the listeners hear this, it happened this past Sunday on the 10th, and just an absolutely awesome ceremony that they've kept alive through their national. It is something they have to do by dictated to them by the national organization, and it great pomp and circumstance, let's put it that way, in honor of our flag.
When do you next time you come, I mean, let's pick a place and start.
Okay. Yep. Like
with,
you mentioned,
with Rome because it.
Do you want to go timeline like 1810 or 1817 when the village of Rome was incorporated?
There's different ways that people look at history, and I think this is what mind numbs some people. Some people look at Rome's history as the fort. Oh my gosh, Fort Stanwix, and here's what happened at Fort Stanwix, I never hear people talking about the coming of the industry. If all there was Fort Stanwix, you'd be a hamlet and you'd have a hot dog stand and people would drive through. Rome was built and there was a lot of industry here. Big industry.
Oh, a lot, yeah.
There was a difference in the industry here and the industry that was in Utica, which were the mills I've seen in history books what they call the lesser businesses. Although they were massive, there was a difference between the foundries here and the cable or the metal places here. And what happened in the rest of the valley, you know, villages at Little Falls on the water, Amsterdam on the water, where there were paper mills, and that's.
Do you feel Rome is Rome? Do you feel Revere is one of the starting points of
his? You had many starting points. You had Fort Stanwix, and then something came.
Yeah, I'm talking
Revere.
Industry because you mentioned industry. So do you?
Well, that was one of the biggies.
All right, okay.
You know, I've heard, and here's, and this gets people to come at me with forks, I've heard all about the Air Force Base. And I have said that long before the Rome Air Depot was flying, you know, biplanes, there were lots of things in Rome. And the history of the Rome Air Depot through when they folded up Rome Air, the Griffith Air Force Base.
1992.
Was not in the scheme of how old Rome is. The existence of Rome proper is a blink of an eye. There were many things in Rome before the base, and there's going to be many things in Rome after the base. Revere is still here. Okay, it's only got 350 people, but it's still here. You've got the Owl Wire. You've got things here still. But people poo-poo those things, and they look to the... You mentioned Vernon Downs. That is part of the area's history. At some point, somebody in Rome used to go to Vernon Downs in the 50s and the 60s, because I've seen photos and pictures and read news articles about it. It was just packed. It's packed. The reason they expanded it and put in the remember when they built the enclosed grandstand? And
the windows go up and down. The windows go up and down for inclement weather.
Many people used to come, and they'd say, and then they started dinner service in there. And so there's a lot to the area that isn't even acknowledged.
Well, and if we go back in time, which we're doing each one of these editions of Lose Local Lore, if we go back in time, then we can look to Rome as, you know, commerce was feed mills way back when. Is that when you want to go back?
Whatever you think is the
okay.
History. The local lore part intrigues me because it's about... it's local stuff that you might have heard of, but it may be, you know, Grandpa's story of what he remembers. And it's changed a lot to Rome is been a medium-sized city, but it had a lot of oomph to it. It still retains a lot of that oomph. It's pretty. It's got flowers all over the place. And where did this stuff come from? There's a lot of pride.
It was very busy to the tune of... people have asked me sometimes, how do I find out? I'll find a restaurant from way back when. And the the Sentinel used to publish, because they were the paper of the county, one of the papers of the county, so you had to publish legal notice.
Yep.
If you go to back in time, the Sentinel used to publish the legal liquor license. So you could find the name of the entity that owned an establishment. And it's a real... People bring up names all the time. And I'm not good with all the different restaurants and bars that were in Rome. I just didn't... My dad was a school teacher. I wasn't... I wasn't going to frequent too many of them. You know, we had our favorites. And, you know, but if you go down South James Street, or you're on North James Street, you're on Dominic Street, you're on Liberty Street, there was a lot of bars in Rome.
Yeah.
And I enjoy going back and finding their liquor license, because it name, address, it just didn't have the phone number, but name and address and who the legal entity behind that business was. So if somebody brings up an old name, I have access to finding that.
These are the interesting things. Coal Yard Charlie.
Yeah.
I've heard this story of Coal Yard Charlie's a million times, but it stops with, well, I think there was a coal yard here someplace. and really, oh, yeah. This used to, and then you hear the same story vaguely in other different ways.
Well, you should venture over there from your other...
I do.
Business, I and find what's on the wall and see if they've got any.
There are things on the wall. Some of it has nothing to do with anything.
All right.
I mean, you know, barbed wire and it's got that kitschy feel to it. Now you go out of Coal Yard Charlie's, you walk two blocks over near Walgreens, there's a place called the Stockyard Inn. And if you say to somebody, where the heck was a stockyard here? Now, to me, I'm thinking of stockyards like in Chicago, 7,000 cars. But if there was a coal yard next to it and there was a stockyard there, what am I missing about where's the little history here?
True. And you are in an area that had a lot of history there because of its proximity to the canal. And if you go just to the south and west of your property, the railroad track ends magically against the canal. There's nothing there anymore. It just ends. Now, was it? I don't know if that was a stop there. If, you know, if they had a stop for the railroad car there, and they unloaded back in there. And there are people that know. And I, you know, it'd be nice to find out who those people are that had businesses down there, or their families had businesses, because it's just okay. Where did this? Why does this track end here? What was it the end of the line for? And Whitesboro Street across from you had a number of hotels on it.
Well, this is what the difference is, and I got to compliment Utica to an extent. I'm a history nut. But you've got a ton of history here, and Utica's got a ton of history. In Utica, they can tell you where James Sherman lived and who lived, you know, all over the place. And then the houses and the mansions and who lived and who was chased down the street with it. I've learned a ton, but there's no markers. So if you're visiting Utica, you could be standing near something that was part of the Underground Railroad and you wouldn't know it. I'm not kidding to you. There's peepers and there's the rental store. Underneath there, there's a ton of history, but there's not a marker or anything else. You come to Rome, and you get the feeling there's a lot of history here, but you don't even know anybody that's got the history of so why is this called a stockyard? Was there a stockyard here?
Well, our own train station, 1912, I think, but I can't find, and I'm sure it's probably at the library sitting somewhere, but I can't find a lot of who, what, where, when the train station was built, 1912, because you go down there and in the tunnel, it's right on the marble, 1912.
That would have been built before the one in Utica, then.
Well, yeah, so you know you wonder, you know, who was involved in all that and everything. The main entrance now, when you go in, lists the refurbishment that I believe was headed up by the Rotarians and other groups. I don't want to not say that there weren't other groups, but I believe the plaque mentions the Rotarians, and you've got all your local dignitaries that were involved in taking care of the renovation of the train station. And speaking to this train station, I go there. It's one of the places I can just go. You and I, Rocco, go upstairs on the station. We're not supposed to loiter, but outside, I sit there, watch the trains go by, and have a little cigar now and then.
Yeah,
and
that's people just do that down here. I used to go with my uncle and watch the train go by.
So did Gracie know that I presented you a cigar? I need to get another one for you after, you know, this is...
Next time I know you're coming, I will present you with
one. Oh,
wow, how nice. That was nice of you.
Yeah,
no, I did not know.
When you have a cigar aficionado, that's how he knew I was... I liked my cigars from...
There is a point at which maybe we can start, because the thing I find amazing about Rome is that there's a lot of history, but it's in a lot of places. And there doesn't seem to be... you know, there isn't. There's you, actually.
Yeah, and I don't want people to think I'm the authority because
well,
we
I
have
need,
the people.
I need
that,
guidance from someplace
yeah,
because
we,
you don't have you had urban renewal.
I just enjoy
gutted
it.
Gutted the city. And even more was lost. So now when I have people come in, and I don't mind it at all. I have so many young guys come in, and they're all excited about the future of Rome. And they make these...
Oh, and I am, too. I am, too. That's why I think the two go hand in hand, because...
Well, not if... No, I'm a purist. When you're going to put out a map, and they call it wayfinding now, which is a
you
nice
know the
modern
term
yep,
for... You know the term, yeah.
For go over there.
Right.
And they put down what is important to the people that are putting the map together. So you know that you have this arts district. And I think it's great to call it the arts district. You got the cinema and everything else. But if you don't drag the people from the cinema in here and say, tell me about the cinema, it's kind of like not there. You've got to be looking for how did the cinema get here and what's the history behind it. WKAL used to be started upstairs from there. We got a picture someplace where there's a
back 1946, yep.
And all that was in that block. And if you didn't know that was part of urban renewal, all that stuff that's missing, you would just think that Rome had someone go through, tear down some buildings and didn't really care that they look, you know, when you're going over Black River Erie Boulevard, you're looking at the backs of buildings that do everything except say this is the back of a building. It is part of what was, you know, there's a bridge and all this other stuff that was really built up at one time and it was a disaster. So
and you being a, if you being a purist, as you said it, and your discussion, because you have great conversations with people, why don't you tie the two together?
Well, you don't have you don't have anybody who sits here. You're the closest I've come to. And the gentleman from the Rome Historical Society or Art Pierce, you all have great pockets of knowledge. What's missing is we don't even have a city historian.
We know that. Yeah, I know. I was in on the initiative. Yeah.
It's there's nothing to tie it together. So you can talk about urban renewal and everybody, when you talk to somebody about urban renewal, they rub their head and they say, oh my God, what they did. But nobody, you know, I can't really find out a lot about what was there. If you go to Coal Yard Charlie's and go in the back dining room, which is usually closed except for big meetings, they got a big ton of pictures there.
Same as the Savoy.
Yes. Okay. But the Savoy hates you to come in and start taking down pictures and saying, look at this. And can I reach over? Excuse me. Can you move that glass? That's not a way to get your history.
true.
I don't know if the Underground Railroad ever came through Rome, but I can tell you, we don't have, there's a lot here.
You know the city is trying to piece together a historian. They're legally supposed to have one, as I understand it. And there is a
committee. Yes, the state nags at you. And
there's
like
other
you
people
that
can talk better to it. But I believe it's been brought before the city council. And with that, can I just take a quick mention to let the public know that city council meets tonight at 7:00? And actually, I think at 6:50, there's a public hearing for something, some additional business. But
10 whole minutes for a public hearing.
Because a lot of it is said and done before the public hearing.
No.
You didn't hear me say that, did you? Is that archived now too, Rick? I always like to tell people, and I may not even be there this evening, trying to see about my other commitment, but those meetings, the city council meetings, are a great place for the local citizens to go, speak your mind. But I always tell people, try to go to a couple meetings and learn the process, because it can be daunting to be in front of the group of people, and you're nervous, and I'm still nervous when I go up there. I'm nervous in front of...
Why are you daunted by people that you know?
Well, it's just because when you speak, it's different to stand in or sit, like I am right now, to sit in front of this mic. I've become much more comfortable the three times doing it here. Plus, like I said, you have Gracie here. You know, it's a calming influence in this room. And, but when you go before city council, I suggest to people, come to a couple meetings, see the process, learn the process, and then instead of, you know, sometimes you have to put your emotions in check when you're at those meetings. But 7:00 tonight, city council chambers.
We have to go to a commercial. It's 8:58. I want to thank Lou Taverna for coming in.
Thank you, Rocco.
And,
thank you, Rick.
We will push ahead with Lou's Local Lures again in a couple of weeks and really start putting together Well, what makes Rome Rome? It's an interesting thing, and I just think I thank you.
Thank you to
you
the listeners too.
And,
thanks
and
for
the
all
people
the comments
that do
I get.
Positively Rome, and there's a young kid who comes in, the guy who's fixing up City Hall. But I guess that's what frustrates me is that there's 100 things going on, not one place to find out exactly what one group wants.
There's
to go.
People
we
listening
got, we got
that
bicycle,
know that.
We got
yeah,
bicycles
there's people
that are, we have beautiful parks but Rome didn't just develop. It's been around since the 1700s. And it is I know if I take my metal detector over to the fort, there will be 18 people who will come over and tell me why I shouldn't do that because it's historic. But you can't tell me what was across the street from the fort where the doctor's office is growing up now. Why was it the American Corner? We kind of sort of know, and that's, I don't know. I just like history for history's sake. Going to take a break and pay some bills. We
thank
will
you
be
again,
back
everyone.
After these messages.
Is in full swing, and there are more motorcycles on the road than ever before. Crashes involving motorcycles are often the result of a motorist failing to yield the right-of-way, or caused by a motorist who is distracted. And motorcycle riders are vulnerable and more exposed. Drivers and riders...